Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. This is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Podcast. Every Sunday morning, we'll take a look at a new research-based tip or technique to help you practice more effectively or perform better under pressure. And on the first Sunday of every month, I'll have a guest from the music, sport, or research world who will share their insights on how we can all be a little more awesome in the practice room and on stage. Have you ever watched a young child practice while they were angry about having to practice? Or maybe you've had the experience of forcing yourself to practice despite being in a not-so-terrific headspace? We can't always be in the best of moods when practicing, of course, but I remember a number of occasions when I would simply go through the motions of practicing while mentally being somewhere else, whether replaying something that happened at school or the injustice of having to practice while my friends were outside having fun. Needless to say, I don't think I got a whole lot out of these practice sessions, which made me wonder, is there such a thing as a mood that's optimal for practicing? And if so, how do we get there? A team of Japanese researchers recruited 48 college students to play a game similar to the classic Operation game. They were curious to see if performance on this game might be affected by exposure to cute animal photos. I know, it sounds a little bit like it could be a late April Fool's joke, but cute things do make us smile. They capture our attention and make us want to care for them. And as you may already know, Japanese society seems to accept and value cuteness on a whole different level than it is in some other cultures. So it does sort of make sense that this would be an area of research interest. Anyhow, the researchers had all the participants play the game twice. But between each game, they were asked to rank 7 pictures in order of preference. One group was given pictures of cute puppies and kittens to rank. This was the baby animal group. Another group was given pictures of adult dogs and cats to rank that were not so cute. This was the adult animal group. So what would happen? Would exposure to cute pictures affect the participants' performance on their second attempt at the game? Well, as you could probably imagine, both groups did improve, because they did have more familiarity now on this task than they did on the first try. However, the improvement wasn't equal. The students who looked at pictures of not-so-cute adult animals improved performance by 11.9% from the first to the second try, but the students who looked at the cute pictures improved their performance by 43.9%. So why did cute photos have this performance-enhancing effect? The researchers found that the participants in the baby animal group seemed to perform the task with more care, as they took more time on the second trial of the game. It took them about 12% longer to complete round 2, while the adult animal group spent almost exactly the same amount of time on both trials. Okay, but why did exposure to cuteness lead them to slow down and take greater care? Did the photos trigger some sort of caregiving instinct, which transferred to the doctor-patient theme of the game? Or could it be that the cute photos simply improved their mood, which led to approaching the task with greater care? The researchers recruited a fresh set of 48 students to dig a little deeper. The second study was set up just like the first, except this time the task was a number search challenge, which involved counting the number of times they could find a specific number within a grid of other numbers. In other words, this was a pretty emotion-neutral task to rule out the possibility of caregiver instinct as a performance booster, and to rule out the possibility that the performance gain was related simply to viewing pleasant photos. They added a third group, which were shown pictures of yummy-looking food. So, how would the cute photo group perform this time around? Would there still be a performance advantage? Well, it turns out the answer is yes. Once again, looking at cute puppies and kittens led to a significant improvement in performance from round 1 to round 2. The baby animals group improved their accuracy score by about 16% and completed the task about 13% faster. Meanwhile, the adult animal group and food groups performed about the same, with only a 1.4 and 1.2% improvement in their accuracy scores and a speed boost of only 4.3 and 3.2% respectively. Okay, so there does seem to be something about cute animal photos that enhances performance. But why? Well, the second study suggests that eliciting the cuteness response doesn't improve performance simply because of a caregiving instinct or just by exposing people to pleasant imagery. Based on findings from related studies, the researchers suggest in their paper that cute things don't improve performance by simply changing our mood or eliciting an emotional response. They note that performance improves through a narrowing of our attention, where we become more attentive to small details, which helps to explain the performance improvement in both the operation game and digit search task, each of which benefits from an increase in focus. And why does cute stuff make us more attentive to detail? Well, that part isn't entirely clear, though it might have something to do with increased physiological activation, as in heart rate and breathing rate. I'm not sure what word best describes the mental state that is caused by looking at a cute puppy and kitten photos and videos, and I'm not aware of any study out there that necessarily looks at the connection between cute puppy and kitten photos and enhanced learning. However, an increase in focus and attention to detail are certainly quite useful qualities to have during your practice or study sessions. So the next time you're not feeling especially inspired or in the mood to practice, maybe it's worth taking a moment to get into a more cute, enhanced, positive headspace first, to see if you can nudge yourself towards a better place by indulging in some cute puppy or kitten photos before you begin. As long as you don't get sucked into some cute animal internet rabbit hole, of course. You can find links to this week's study and other resources at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. And if you found the episode helpful, please share it with a friend or practice buddy who you think might also enjoy experimenting with this during the coming week.